This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, another lawmaker conversation today. State Representative Christine Goodwin joining us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Kyle. Happy to be here.
So, first of all, let's start off with the big event tonight. Why don't you kind of unpack it from your perspective?
Yes, we have the road show, the Ways and Means Road Show coming to Roseburg. We're one of the few areas selected in the state. So the full Ways and Means Committee basically sets up like a committee setting. It's going to be at Jacoby Auditorium, and they're there to listen to testimony about capital infrastructure asks to the state. So all of us representatives will submit our top three priorities, and then we will, of course, persuade Ways and Means to fund these capital improvement projects. But this gives, you know, normally we would be doing this in the building and working those projects with Ways and Means, but now our citizens, those involved with the projects, have the opportunity to speak directly and give testimony to the Ways and Means Committee. So if you're just interested in the process and how committee works, and just to be there to ask, now there may be time, I'm not sure, this is the first time I've experienced this as well outside of the Capitol. So there may be some opportunity for citizens to speak on other things that are important to them.
And of course, we've got a link up for those who want to testify. They ask that people sign up in advance. I understand it's going to be very rapid fire pace with citizen comments limited to 2 minutes, so they can get through a lot of people. Now, are the lawmakers, folks like you, going to be addressing the committee as this begins tonight?
Yes, yeah, so we'll be up there. Your local legislators, Rep. Osborne, Rep. Boyce, Senator Brock Smith, myself, we will, I believe Rep. Wright will be there as well. So we'll all be on the dais, you know, along with the Ways and Means members. So I'm pretty excited about it. I think this is going to be really excited to have it in our home turf. And of course, we all of us are here locally really pressing for the building at long last to the veterans home. So we are working for bond money to finance that. That's a really good deal for the state in that that's a big federal match to build this. Not only does it help with our veterans housing issues, we've got the beautiful regional center and campus. For a number of reasons, this has gotten sidetracked over the years, but there are only two other big veterans homes in the state, in the Dalles and Lebanon. So this will be fabulous for our region and really open up housing for veterans.
You know, I've been doing news full time for about 15 years, and at the front end of that, this was being talked about then as coming in just a few years. And you're right, there have been, of course, the Lebanon getting to go second. Originally, that looked like it was a shift differently. And then everything kind of went sideways with the pandemic and funding and all of that. So looks like, or sounds like, all of you are really working hard to keep that kind of at the top of some of the local projects and things that you're pushing for.
It is. It's really important to us all. So, and I'm feeling very optimistic about it.
Now, is there the potential, I mean, what is the furthest this project could go to in this session? Because obviously, there's with the federal government involved, there's more pieces there.
Well, basically, the big funding asks will not really be decided until late May, until the final May forecast comes out. Because so far we have kind of a framework for the state and how much is, after you fund current service levels, you know, how much is actually left over for these new propositions to the state. And it's not very much, but until they really know the revenue forecast in May, that will determine then what how Ways and Means makes those decisions about projects. I, by nature, am very modest very stingy with the taxpayers' money. I don't like to spend money unless it's really necessary. But when there is a certain bucket of money that is set aside for districts, you know, we as reps, that's our responsibility, really pursue that money for our constituents, you know, for good projects. And a lot of these are, oh, there's a various projects. There's housing projects and libraries, water systems. I'm working toward the Riddle Roots Community Center project that has been launched over a year ago. Lots of good things about that project. Oh, there's just all kinds of things that some are looking for school district pieces of funding. So all of these are really great infrastructure projects, but you can imagine that we're all kind of fighting for that money for our districts.
All right, so an opportunity for local folks to advocate for things they would like to see happen at that event tonight. We'll come back to that near the end. If you take a look at the past several days, what are some of the kind of top things that you've been working on this week?
Oh, well, yesterday morning, I had my second testimony on my veterans' cremains bill, which I have been working that bill since last session. I think we finally we got it through last session. I got it through the House unanimously. I did so as well this session, but now it's off to the Senate. So that's where it got hiccuped last time, but I think we have answered all the questions we needed to. There were some smaller concerns and funding and so on. But Douglas County was at the epicenter of this, discovering that we just have veterans that have their cremains have not been claimed by family. And they're just sitting in funeral homes and in attics and in basements. And what was discovered by our VSO, Mary Newman Keys in Douglas County, I've been working with closely. She's wonderful and has made sure 28 of our local veterans that had not been claimed have now had proper dignified burials. And so she's really kind of leading the charge here for the state and creating a model. Other counties are reaching out to her and asking, you know, about the process. So once this I feel really positive about it getting through the Senate, and then they will be underway in a bigger way in the state and making sure all those veterans are buried properly.
Well, and I know a lot of our veteran population that is listening will be pleasantly happy to see that move along and get more work resolved on that situation. Now, as far as the committees that you're on, what's been going on lately?
Well, the committees, we are now waiting. Of course, the first chamber deadline happened, so all the House bills had to be out of committee. So now we are addressing the Senate bills that have come over too. And I'm in behavioral health care, and also joint Ways and Means Human Services. So I'm dealing with two of the biggest departments in the state, Oregon Health Authority and Department of Human Services. So these are multi-billion dollar budgets. But right now, a lot of the Senate bills, the Senate has been moving a lot slower than the House side, and they've been reading bills. And so a lot of the bills that are coming to us right now are not very controversial, pretty small stuff. The big stuff is in the House is coming up. You may have heard that last week we had quite an eventful week on the floor, and the Republicans are really trying to slow these things down, particularly the big gun bills and the abortion gender, I call it disfiguring bill, but it's those were bills that we wanted to slow down coming to the floor. And so there was a lot of strategy involved with that. Anyway, just juggling both the House and the Senate chambers, and then, of course, bills get referred on to other committees. If they have a fiscal, they go to Ways and Means. If there's a revenue issue, there might be rules issue, so on. So that's the play of bills. It's not a direct path. Things kind of hang out there. So in an example, I'm waiting. I have a pretty good chance. One of my bills is held up, but I feel like it's going to move through tax expenditures, and it is wildfire victim tax exemption. So I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but these victims, they finally get a settlement. Remember, the Archie Creek fire victims have lawsuits against Pacific Corps, negligence against Pacific Corps. And so what has happened, what I realized is they are taxed fully, state and federally, on their settlement money, even the money that they had to give to attorneys to handle their fees. And sometimes that's 30 or 40%. So basically that money is double taxed. So the Joint Tax Expenditures Committee seemed really eager, I think, to move the state tax exemption along. But now it's just kind of hung up. Because, again, there's just some political strategy there on why chairs will just sit on bills.
And it's interesting.
Or try to kill them. You know, they will try to kill bills or ways to keep them alive or kill them.
You know, looking at this topic, I asked Senator Wyden when he was down here about that on the federal level, and he was interested in that topic as well and sounded like there was going to be doing some investigation there to see, potential changes on the federal level as well. So a lot of interest in that topic following an unfortunate situation. We're going to take a break and come back to interview a podcast after one at 541radio.com. State Representative Christine Goodwood on Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1. Umpqua Valley Live, looking at arts, entertainment, community events. I'll have that at 4. Our featured interview today, joining us live, Curtis Salgado, blues legend, will be on the program. On Inside Douglas County on Monday, Congressman Cliff Bentz will talk with us. State Representative Christine Goodwin on right now. Of course, the Joint Ways and Means Committee in Douglas County tonight. We'll remind you of that before we wrap things up. I would imagine that the pace of things with this stage of the session is really ramping up right now.
Yeah, it is. It's getting, it will get really intense. We did have a little bit of a lull this week waiting for some of these Senate bills to come out, but that was also a really good time for us to work our bills and do testimony in other committees. And mentioning Congressman Bentz, an example, he's somebody in my office has reached out to help with our minor power tools bill that got hiccuped by Boley, but it needs a federal, we need to get it aligned with federal law. So that was nice to work with his office. We've gotten some feedback that we might be able to bridge that gap and that problem there. So our big event, though, Tuesday on tax day, April 18th, was we did another bill pull, and we tried to pull all of these tax bills that have been stuck, or I should say anti-tax bills that were stuck in revenue and weren't being moved. So it's a procedure whereby you try to pull them to the floor for a vote. And we're still fighting hard against this CAT tax, which is basically a tax to business, really a sales tax to everybody, because they're taxing businesses on gross receipts. So even if a business is not profitable, there's already taxes on profit on business. This is a gross receipts tax. So we are fighting to either repeal it entirely, which probably won't happen, but to at least raise the exemption from $1 million is not a big corporation to have gross receipts in that. So we wanted to get that up to at least $5 million. They would not have it. They voted it down. We tried to do a tax that would decrease personal income tax. We think those brackets need to be adjusted. So the lower income, middle income folks have a tax break in this state. The Democrats would not have anything to do with that. We think the death tax is terribly unfair and way too low. Again, that's money that has been taxed all along, and it's only at $1 million. It's $12 million federally. So now you have families who can't afford to keep the family business or farms, assets of the family, unless they sell everything to pay the taxes. So our death tax is way outdated and too low, and the Democrats would not have it. They just would not allow any of that. So that was took up most of Tuesday, some other minor bills, but the big bills, like I said, are coming down the road, the gun bills and abortion bill,
now,
abortion, gender.
For this bill regarding estates, is there a way, if you can get the amount changed to something that you feel is more fair, is there the potential to add the component of indexing that to inflation so that it doesn't stay at the same number year after year?
Yes, that's the bill. There were several of us that had bills. So we did decide on that particular bill, which is indexed for inflation. So far, it's still, we'll see. It's not dead yet. My bill was to repeal it entirely, but that didn't go anywhere. The other one that we moved, that we pulled to the floor, was to just at least take it up to $2 million. I mean, with inflation and property values, it is not difficult for an individual to have that in asset upon their death. So I think it should be higher. I think it should be closer to, or at least half of what the federal limit should be. And again, this money has been taxed all along. So it's just really excessive. We'll see where that goes. I'll let you know.
What about legislation that maybe particularly impacts Douglas County or your district, which goes into Josephine County?
Yes, well, the Veterans Home, of course, is a very big deal for this whole Southwest region. I'm, like I said, working on the Riddle Roots project for Riddle. I'm also working with Central Point. So my district now is all southern Douglas County, Canyonville down to Central Point. And so I have been working with those folks on some transportation issues, on some roundabouts, improvements to move traffic a little better through their community. So they'll be there tonight, and they'll be presenting their ideas as well.
Wow.
And then I think that, you know, what I'm hearing from our constituents are, you know, their concern about the gun bills, of course. So all of us are working really hard to kill those bills.
And talk about what some of those gun bills, what will they do if they're passed? What changes?
Well, there were three of them, and now they've been consolidated into a big omnibus bill. But the three components essentially are prohibiting any gun parts, the possession of any gun parts that don't have serial numbers. So even if they're non-fireable parts, they're trying to get at ghost guns and things, but the bill is not written. Well, things right now are in the amendment process, which is, that's when the work, you just have to pay close attention to what happens with the amendments, because that can change the bill considerably. The other one is just the age to own firearms. So it's just an unconstitutional bill, actually. This one will also go to the courts because it's prohibiting under the age of 21. There's a couple small exceptions, but basically, legal age for firearms would be 21 and over with this bill if it were to pass. So we're fighting that. The other one is about the municipal corporations adopting policies or regulations against concealed handguns. So, again, trying to establish all these gun-free zones when legally in Oregon we have concealed weapon permits. So they just create kind of a – it's just – it's messy in that it just – you can have isolated little areas. You can literally have no ability to have a concealed weapon on one side of the street. On the other side, it's okay. So it's – you know, all the way around there – they're bad bills. I would recommend, though, I really want to mention to your listeners that they can go on Oregon Legislature, OLIS it's called, the Oregon Legislature Information System, and they'll see where they can look at bills and just put in the number and read the bill. And if they have any problem, or, I mean, we hear from constituents all the time. I have a staff person who pretty much is doing this full time, just reading bills and consolidating those for me and telling me what, you know, what people are writing in about and what their concerns are. And there's a lot of people very knowledgeable about bills and what's happening, and they're reading them carefully. And I encourage them to do that.
And again, as we wrap up tonight, the event 5 to 7 o'clock at Jacoby Auditorium at Umpqua Community College. People who want to testify, and it will be 2 minutes. We've got a link to that with our story we posted today at 541radio.com. And it sounds like for all of the regional lawmakers, you're really looking forward to this event tonight.
I am. I'm looking forward to it, and I really hope people come up and introduce themselves to me. And yeah, if they have any questions about Salem or, you know, government in general in this state, I'm happy to answer that for them.
All right. Again, 5 to 7 o'clock tonight at Jacoby Auditorium, out on the campus of Umpqua Community College for the Joint Ways and Means Committee hearing. Looks like we are out of time. Inside Douglas County, back on Monday.
Yeah, tonight then.
All right. Sounds good. State Representative Christine Goodwin with us on the program today. 1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.